All right, open your Bible with me to Psalm 67. The first song that we sang a while ago, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. What an appropriate thing, because that's what we're going to talk to you about for a few moments tonight. Psalm 67, after we pray. Father, how grateful we are tonight as a church. You've been good to us for these 4 decades now. This church has stood as a light in a dark world. It has guided many people throughout these years in paths of righteousness, has served the spiritual needs of this community for these 40 years, has sent the gospel around the world, has proclaimed the truth from classroom to classroom to classroom, from the pulpit, from door to door, publicly, privately, in every way. And we're glad tonight that we have the opportunity to assemble in this Thanksgiving season unashamedly to thank you for all of your blessings. And I pray that in our nation tonight, as we come to the day that's set aside for Thanksgiving, that our people all over America would pause to thank you for your goodness. And when we sit down to our tables of plenty, may we remember there are those that are hungry. As we worship in a beautiful sanctuary, listening to the Word of God, fellowshipping with God's people, help us to remember that many people are spiritually hungry and perishing around the world. May we do our part in these days to win them to Christ. I pray, dear God, that you would guide the officials of our government. We believe that our nation needs to get back to the basics and the foundation upon which it was founded. We believe that there ought to be prayer in the school. We believe there should be an expression because this country was founded on those principles. I pray that we would do our part to guarantee that they would be continued. Now I pray for the reading of your word and for a few moments of praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we ask it with thanksgiving. Amen. Psalm 67, the psalmist said, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Remember that song? We call it the doxology, Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, all ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Thanksgiving season reminds us that we have a lot to be grateful for. We could not begin to name or number or count or classify or categorize all the things that God has done for us. When you stop to think how many good things God has done, the good gifts that God has given, and the Bible says every good and every perfect gift cometh from God, from above, from the Father, with whom there's no variableness, nor even a shadow of turning. Thinking of the gifts, the good things that God has given to us and allowed to come into our lives, we should also thank God for the things that have not happened to us. You know, a lot of times we just look at one side of this thing, but just think of the things that God has kept from us. that God has not allowed to happen to us. Oh, we have so much to be thankful for. And we join with the psalmist in verse 3, let all the people praise thee. Praise is a beautiful thing. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 33 and verse 1, praise is comely. That word comely means outstanding beauty. It means good to look upon. It is good to give thanks. Psalm 92 and verse 7 says it is a good thing because praise is comely. Psalm 34 and verse 1 says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praising God, let all the people praise thee. Psalm 119 and verse 164, the psalmist said, seven times a day do I praise the Lord. Seven times a day? That's what he said. Seven times a day do I praise the Lord. Psalm 146 and verse number 2 says, while I live, or as long as I'm living, I will praise the Lord. Psalm 9 and verse 1 says, I will praise him with my whole heart. This is not a half-hearted thing. This is a wholehearted thing. Psalm 52, 9 says, I will praise thee forever. So we have plenty good scriptural reasons to praise God. Let me talk to you about people praising the Lord. Psalm 67 poses several questions or states the answer to questions that we could ask. For example, number one, who should praise God? Look at verse 3. Let all the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Well, turn to Psalm 69 and verse 34. And we'll learn from that psalm that both heaven and earth are admonished to praise God. Psalm 69 and verse 34 says, let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. All of nature is admonished to praise God. Every time one of the creatures passes through the sea, every creeping thing on earth, if you have time sometime between now and your Thanksgiving time, go to Revelation chapter 5, where it talks about all of the creatures praising God. Every creature. Even every time the dog barks, it's a praise to God. Every time the cricket chirps or the bird sings, let all of heaven and all of earth praise him, and all the seas and everything that moves in them. Then turn to Psalm 22 and verse number 23. Psalm 22 and verse number 23. Everyone who trusts the Lord, everyone who fears God, praises him. Verse 23 of Psalm 22 says, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. So, every person who knows God, who trusts God, who believes in God, who has put confidence in God, who fears God, should praise him. Turn to Psalm 28 and verse 7. All of the singers praise God. Psalm 28, verse 7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's going on in churches they call music that's nothing more than religious racket. It is not designed to praise God. It's designed to glorify man. It's designed to exalt the singer. Hello. I'm going to tell you tonight, whether you sing a solo, a duet, a trio, a quartet, or in the choir, or in the congregation, if you're not singing to glorify God, keep your mouth shut. It is far better that you don't do anything. If your song is to show people how you can sing, If your song is to glorify the person sitting next to you and let them know what a beautiful voice you've got, forget it. Songs are not outward, they are upward to God. Doesn't matter who hears it or doesn't hear it or what it sounds like. I've heard some people, honestly, I can do better. And that's not much. But I've gotten a blessing out of people that I knew were singing from their heart. Then I've heard people that hit every note exactly right. They never missed a thing. And when they got through, I said to myself, why am I listening to that? Every singer should praise God. Poor people ought to praise God. Turn to Psalm 74. Psalm 74 and verse number 21. Psalm 74 and verse 21 says, oh, let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. Everybody praises God. Heaven and earth. All who trust him. All who sing. All the poor people. Angels praise him. Turn to Psalm 148 and verse number 2. Psalm 148 and the second verse. I'm saying that the angels in heaven also are admonished to praise him. Verse 2 of Psalm 148 says, praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his host. Well, I tell you, it must be a wonderful thing in heaven when all the angels, and they are innumerable, uncountable, myriads, multitudes, at all times, praising him. Musicians, on your instrument, praise him. Turn to Psalm 150, right across the page there. Look at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. If your instrument doesn't praise God, stop blowing it. Stop playing it. Praise him with a psaltery and harp. Praise him with a timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Everybody, unborn generations, turn to Psalm 102 and verse number 18. Unborn generations, praise God. Verse 18, Psalm 102, this shall be written for the generation to come. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't preserve the truth of the Word of God, if we don't preserve the fundamentals of the faith and fundamentalism as we know it, the next generation won't have anything to cling to. They won't have any hope. They won't have any doctrines. They won't have any faith. This shall be written for the generation to come. And the people which shall be created, that is those who are yet unborn, shall praise the Lord. You know, when we leave this place, when we leave this world, we ought to leave behind a legacy that the generation that comes up will have something to be thankful for. I look back, and I've referred to this, but I want to put it in a context that everybody can understand and appreciate. When I look back to the late 30s and early 40s, when my dad first started coming to Fort Worth, Texas, to attend the old Bible schools that were held for a week in the First Baptist Church, the Bible Baptist Seminary was founded in 1939. Prior to that, and in the early stages of it, 1 week was set apart, and preachers came from all over America, and they sat at the feet of men like Dr. Norris and Dr. Louis Ensminger and others that Dr. Norris brought in. And they went back to their churches, and I can speak for my dad here, because when, and I referred to this not long ago, before my dad was exposed to this type of fundamentalism, we had quarterlies in our Sunday school. All of our Sunday school, from the young people down, met in one long hall, one long classroom. No departments, no organization. My dad came back from the meetings in Fort Worth, threw out the literature, put in the Bible, organized the Sunday school, and we went to 1,000 in just a few years. I'm glad that some men like Frank Norris and Louis Sensminger taught some other men so that they could teach another generation. Some of the best teaching I ever got was at the feet of my own daddy, growing up in his church. And I thought today, every professor in the Norris Bible Baptist Institute, except Brother Rigsby, every professor I taught in Bible school. And now they're teaching. I'm glad that in the early 50s, I had the privilege of going to Bible school and being trained and being taught so that I could in turn teach another generation. And now that generation is teaching another generation. What is the next generation going to have if we don't pass it along to them? I'm telling you, it's important that we preserve the Bible school movement. It's important that we preserve the missionary movement. It's important that we preserve the Bible movement and the fundamentals of the faith so the generations unborn will have something to thank God for. Praise is contagious. Did you know that? Somebody praises God over here, and somebody else over here praises God, and somebody else praises somebody else, and it's kind of contagious. You remember in Isaiah 6? One of the cherubims, the guardians of the holiness of God, one of them said, "Holy." Other one said, "Holy." Third one said, "If they can say it, I can say it too. Holy." And they all started saying, "Holy." And first thing you know, every angel, every cherubim in heaven was saying, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty reigneth." God's a holy God, and he demands praise. His very nature demands it. And it's contagious. You say holy, you say praise God, somebody else says praise God. Who should praise the Lord? Everybody. Number two, why should people praise the Lord? Look at verse 4. In the text that I read from Psalm 67. Verse number 4 will answer that question. Why should we praise God? What do we have that's so pressing upon us that we should praise the Lord? Verse number 4 says, "Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth." There are many injustices in our world tonight. All around us there are injustices, inequities. But one day, everything's going to be just right. He's going to judge righteously. That's not always the case now. But he will judge righteously and he will govern the nations upon the earth. And don't think for one moment that Jesus Christ, your Savior and mine, is struggling for power in this world. He already has it. All power, he said, is given unto me. And one of these days, he's going to exercise his authority and from Jerusalem. Remember Psalm 122 says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of David." Who's going to sit on David's throne? Jesus Christ. Has not been anybody on that throne since 586 B.C. when Zedekiah, the last king, was taken off that throne. Or there have been some usurpers like Herod the Great, who was a puppet of Rome. From 37 to 4 B.C., they put him up there as a puppet, but nobody has rightly, royally occupied that throne since Zedekiah was taken off in 586 B.C., but they're over there now dusting off that throne, because before long, the greater son of David, the greater son of David. He had a son named Solomon, remember? And Solomon succeeded him on the throne. But God said to David, "I'm going to raise one up out of your loins and bring one up out of your family and establish with him an everlasting kingdom." The son, Solomon, succeeded David immediately. But the greater son, Jesus Christ, will occupy that throne and from Jerusalem rule over all the nations of earth. And everything will be in an equitable sense. Literally? Absolutely. I believe that's going to be just as literal as this desk is literal. Jesus Christ literally will sit on a literal throne in a literal city and rule over a literal world from a literal kingdom that'll cover the whole world. He shall govern the nations. That's why we ought to praise him, because he's righteous, because God is righteous in his judgments, and because God shall rule the whole world. And I want to tell you now that the ground is level around God's judgment bar. He has no respecter of nations. He has no respecter of persons. Number three, what will happen when people praise God? Look at verse 5 through verse 7. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. What will happen when we praise God? The earth shall produce abundantly. You know why the millennial kingdom is going to be such a wonderful kingdom of prosperity and peace and productivity? Because people are going to be praising God. The more we praise God, the more the earth is going to yield its increase. That's what the Bible says. Try it and see. Go out in your fall garden, start praising God, and you'll get some bigger turnips, some bigger potatoes, and everything else. That's what the Bible says. The earth shall yield her increase when we start praising God. Try it and see. If it doesn't work, blame God for it. He said he'd do it. The earth shall yield her increase when people learn to praise him. Not only that, but God shall bless in a wonderful and remarkable way. And many people, look at it again, many people shall be turned to God and trust him. Then shall the earth yield her increase. God, even our own God, shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall trust him. Hey, you know, we could have a lot more happening if we start praising God. We don't have to wait till the millennium. Let's get in on some of it now. When you and I praise God before the world, it is a testimony to his goodness and his grace. When we praise him, others will believe and be saved. When we praise him, the earth yields its increase. People are attracted to God. And our ultimate goal, after all, ladies and gentlemen, is to bring the lost to Jesus Christ. And we can do it as we praise God in the sanctuary and in the street. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Well, let's stand for our closing prayer. Choir members, you have already been admonished. Let me remind you, immediately after the benediction, if you'll come and make your way to the choir and be ready for your musical program for Sunday, it's very important. You'll have a little extra time tonight because we're finishing up just a little bit earlier than usual. I hope all of you will have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope that all of you will be mindful of others who have needs, and let's share with those who have not. Heads are bowed as we ask God's blessings. Brother Donald King, lead us in the closing prayer.